The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back to Feminist Book Club, the podcast. We're not just about feminist books. We are here for social justice, literature, and media in all its forms. But we do that through an intersectional feminist lens. Thanks for being here. Let's get started.
Hey guys, my name is Emma Ito, she, her, and I'm so excited to be joining the Feminist Book Club podcast team. And a little bit about me. So I am a public historian, which means that I study a lot of history, but I also work a lot with K-12 students and teachers and college students and lifelong learners to talk about history and the importance of it and kind of learning the honest history of this country. And so I felt like it would be perfectly fitting to talk to you all today a little bit about some history books that I wish that I had been assigned in high school. I'm actually going to talk about three books today. And while I'm talking about three, I promise there are so many more. But I'm going to start with three. And these are all books that are written by women. So to start off, I want to talk a little bit about Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz's An Indigenous People's History of the United States. And I really wish that I had read this in high school. And I think a lot of you all may be interested in this one, particularly after reading As Long as Grass Grows. I think it goes really hand in hand with that one. And basically what this book is kind of a brief overview a little bit of the history of Indigenous peoples in the United States. And it's written by a historian and activist, actually. So Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz, just for all you history buffs, she was actually played a large role in the late 60s women's liberation movement in her activism and her political journal, which was called No More Fun and Games, a Journal of Female Liberation. So she made a lot of alliances. She worked a lot with Indigenous tribal peoples. And it kind of led her, I think, to writing this book. And so while it's not like a fully academic book, but do kind of be prepared. It is a history book. And, you know, that being said, I just want to challenge you all to try and just read a little bit of history every month, because I do think that there's a lot that we were not taught about in school, whether that be in college, whether that be in K-12, and a lot that we've had to kind of learn on our own. And so I definitely challenge you to read history. And for those of you who sometimes feel a little intimidated by it, I think the best advice I can give is, and I get this a lot, is like, Emma, you read so much history. Like, how do you do that? And like, the truth is like, yeah, I love reading like fun fantasy, like fiction. I want to read like mangas sometimes, but you know, I do make myself read history a lot. And I think one way to do this as someone who's a little intimidated by that is to just challenge yourself to read like a chapter a month. Like, it's not too much and you don't have to overwhelm yourself. But like, even if you like put a chapter a month down, like, there you go. You've got a whole chapter down of a history book. So yeah, sorry, a little bit of a side. But Indigenous People's History of the United States, definitely one I wish I had read in high school. Another book that I think is really easily accessible for anyone is Erica Lee's America for Americans, A History of Xenophobia in the United States. And this one is really general. I think, like, again, like this actually is less academic, even than in the sense of like not like a textbook, and it's pretty like easy to read, honestly. And this one is from a really amazing historian, Erica Lee. She studies a lot on immigration history and Asian American history and Chinese American history specifically. And she is a historian. She's a granddaughter of Chinese immigrants who came through Angel Island and Ellis Island. And now she teaches American history and Asian American studies. And this book is really great because it's, you know, I think we hear a lot on, and we understand that xenophobia has long been in the United States, but in reading this book, you can really kind of see the, just like the longer history of it all. So she talks a lot about, you know, early immigrants and coming to the United States, like the Germans and the Irish Catholics. But then she also goes into the exclusion of Asian immigrants and particularly like the Chinese Exclusion Act, which I think a lot of us sometimes hear that, like what that was passed over. But basically those a series of laws in the United States that specifically excluded Chinese immigrants from coming to this country and from being naturalized citizens, which that actually did not end until 1943. Sorry, a little bit of a side. And so, yeah, she talks a lot about, you know, Asian exclusion, Asian American exclusion. And then she talks specifically about Mexican exclusion and the deportation of Mexicans in the United States. And then she goes into current day xenophobia. So I do think that it's a newer book. I think it came out in like 2019. And I think it's just a really solid, accessible history book to kind of talk about the history in the United States of exclusion and of xenophobia. And the last book I want to talk about for this session is Michelle Alexander's The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness. I truly do wish that I had read this in high school. And, you know, I was graduated actually when it came out. It was published originally in 2010. But, you know, it's hopefully many of you have already heard about this book, have already been reading it or started it or picked it up. But Michelle Alexander, she's a highly acclaimed civil rights lawyer. She's an advocate, a legal scholar. And this book is just a really, really good piece of work. Now, that being said, I do think that The New Jim Crow is much more challenging in some ways than Indigenous Peoples History and America for Americans, in that it is a fairly large book and it can be a little bit overwhelming. But honestly, all three of these books can be a lot. Now, that being said, I still think that I could have read these as a senior in high school. Like, I still wish that I had read these in school. And so, you know, New Jim Crow, if you haven't heard of this book, you know, it talks a lot about the history of mass incarceration, the history of and the work of racial justice activists. And there's actually a 10th anniversary edition out with a new preface by Michelle Alexander that's talking about kind of all that has changed and all that's remained the same in our criminal justice system. So I think that all three of these books, you know, are really important. And I would highly encourage you all to, even if you read, like I said, like, even if you read like a couple chapters, like, just challenge yourself to try and understand this. Because when we talk about a lot of things today, especially from a feminist lens, you know, there's a lot of history that's already there. And there's a lot of folks that have been studying these things for a long time and a lot of things that we can learn. And I certainly believe that like Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz and Michelle Alexander, Erica Lee, they're doing good work. Like, and I think if you can take the time to just read a couple chapters from these books, it will have been worth it. So yeah, like I said, these are just three of many, many books, but I highly encourage you all to take a look at them. And, you know, I'm glad these women are out there like writing these really important works. So one last time, in case you wanted to catch those title names again, I was talking today about The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander, An Indigenous People's History of the United States by Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz, and America for Americans by Erica Lee. So I hope you guys check them out. And if you do, I'm really interested to see what you're learning and like tell me what interests you and what's new to you. And I want to know. I really do. So, you know, my handle is at Booked with Emma. So feel free to message me or let me know what you're thinking. And I will talk to you all soon. Bye.
Today's episode is sponsored by the Feminist Book Club Readathon. That's right, our highly anticipated second readathon is finally on the calendar. Save the date for July 23rd through the 25th. Our readathons are low stakes, high reward, meaning all you have to do to participate is set aside some time to read and then hang out with us online. Sign up for updates and to be eligible for the giveaways at feministbookclub.com/readathon. The link is in the show notes as well, and we cannot wait to read all weekend with you. That's July 23rd through the 25th, feministbookclub.com/readathon. Hi everyone, Renee Powers here, and I mentioned in the last episode that I've been loving easy, fast-paced, immersive thrillers lately. So if you haven't listened to that previous episode, I talk about some of my favorite feminist authors, and one of my standbys of the last few years has been Andrea Bartz, which is how the topic came up. But if you're in the same overwhelmed headspace that I'm in, and all you want to read is fun thrillers, I wanted to share some of my recent favorites. First, in terms of Andrea Bartz's books, I think my favorite is The Herd, which tells the story of a fancy pants New York co-working space and social club for women. So think The Wing or The Riveter. And as a member of these co-working spaces, I loved this setting. It is rife for fodder. The glamorous CEO goes missing under mysterious circumstances, and creepy messages and people start showing up. And it's up to her friends and co-founders to figure out what went wrong and where she is. This one had me guessing up until the final reveal, but then again, most thrillers do. That's The Herd by Andrea Bartz. For a similar feel, keep your eye out for the book Smile and Look Pretty by Amanda Pellegrino. This one isn't out until this December, but if you are on NetGalley and looking for a fun romp through 20-something New York young professionals, go ahead and request it. It is available for request last time I checked. Four best friends are trying to break into creative industries and find themselves constantly harassed by their male superiors. So they begin an anonymous blog that dishes all about their nasty bosses. It inevitably goes super viral, and they're all left wondering, how will they continue down their career paths? Is it groundbreaking? No. Is it fluffy and fun? Absolutely. I really enjoyed it. That's Smile and Look Pretty by Amanda Pellegrino. If you haven't read When No One Is Watching by Alyssa Cole, just go ahead right now, move this one to the top of your TBR. It's great for summer. It's a thriller with the gentrification of Brooklyn at its heart. So our main character is Sydney. Her neighbors in Brooklyn are all taking huge offers on their historical brown homes and moving out. And many of her neighbors have been there for decades. It wouldn't strike anyone else as suspicious, but Sydney knows her neighborhood. She knows her neighbors. When she uncovers a real estate conspiracy, shit starts to hit the fan in deadly ways. This is one you're not going to want to put down. You will read it in a day and you will love it. That is When No One Is Watching by Alyssa Cole. And if you're looking for a thriller with a little more meat on its bones, something a little that you can chew on, Stacey Abrams' newest book, While Justice Sleeps, is absolutely fantastic. Avery is a law clerk for a respected but unpredictable Supreme Court justice. When he falls into a coma, Avery is shocked, as is everyone, to find out that he has named her his power of attorney. There are huge cases waiting to be heard by the Supreme Court, and he was likely going to be the deciding vote on one in particular. Could this have anything to do with his sudden coma? And why does it seem like everyone is out to get Avery? This is a twisty and tense political thriller that is a little dense at times, but totally immersive and perfect for fans of Scandal, especially the first couple seasons before it went off the rails. So that's While Justice Sleeps by Stacey Abrams. And yes, it's that Stacey Abrams. What can't she do? So that's all we have for you today. Thanks for tuning in. You can find me on Instagram at Belle Renee, or let us know what you think at Feminist Book Club Box on Instagram. And be sure to give Emma some extra love and congratulate her on her first segment. Take care, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Feminist Book Club, the podcast. Want to be part of the club? Here's how you can join us. Obviously, subscribe to our podcast and leave a rating and review for brownie points. Follow along on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and TikTok. All of those links are in the show notes. Sign up for our newsletter to be the first to know what our next monthly book pick is. And check out our award-winning monthly book subscription service. Oprah Magazine named it one of their favorite book boxes, and Shonda Rhimes called us one of her favorite subscription boxes in general. There are multiple membership levels for any budget, and it's an excellent way to support the show and the voices you heard today. See you in the club.
A well-read woman is a dangerous creature.